I'd now like to talk to you a little bit about what we've been doing in the area of religious slaughter. As some of you may know, and we have a separate Cyber Tower talk on kosher and halal slaughter and kosher and halal rules, which are the Jewish and Muslim dietary laws. And both of them have a major component dealing with slaughter. And that's probably how I got myself involved in all of this animal welfare. I'd been dealing with some issues and dealing with Dr. Grandin over the years on issues related to religious slaughter. And when the FMI NCCR program went into all of these issues, they realized they needed somebody to do the religious slaughter. And so I've really been focused on that. And so we have been putting together a set of background documents explaining religious slaughter, and then looking at what are the unique audit points for religious slaughter, both for the Muslim halal and the Jewish kosher. And we've actually put those standards out, and we have shared them with the religious communities, and we discovered, in fact, that we had made a miscalculation mistake when it came to the fervently Orthodox Jewish community, where they have certain requirements that had not been well articulated prior to this as part of their requirements. And so, in fact, we've gone back and are retooling them. We've made a major change in some of the requirements, and we are still currently negotiating the full range of changes with that community. So again, like we worked with the trade associations, this is an iterative process. At the same time, Cornell has had a sheep and goat program, which is actually called the Northeast Sheep and Goat Program. We work a lot with a number of other states in the Northeast. And through that program, we, working with Temple Grandin and folks in this program, realized that a lot of the halal slaughter was being done in individual cases by individuals. Some of it was being done in small slaughterhouses. Some of it was even being done on farm. And the equipment for slaughtering, the procedures for slaughtering, weren't that well worked out. And so what we have done are a number of different things, the first of which is to take advantage of what we've learned from the Jewish community about how best to slaughter animals religiously, and have developed a knife for that community. And we did that differently than the Jewish community, which actually custom makes these knives, which makes them very expensive. What we looked at was, could we develop such a knife using something that was available, but testing it, and we have found such a knife, and we are promoting that. We also realized that because each individual Muslim wishes to slaughter an animal essentially once a year during the Feast of the Sacrifice, which commemorates Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, and his almost slaughter of his firstborn son, Ishmael, that Muslims want to slaughter a ram, and preferably, but a sheep or a goat once a year. Now, that story should ring a bell. It's the same story of Abraham and Isaac and the binding of Isaac and taking, almost sacrificing his life. The story in the Muslim community is simply told in terms of Ishmael, who in fact was the firstborn son of Abraham and older than Isaac. And so, given that, we have also gone to create a poster, which we have instructions for how do you go about doing a humane slaughter, a halal slaughter properly, either with special equipment, which I want to talk about shortly, or without that special equipment. And we realize in that community, particularly as we work both in America and overseas, that we may need this in multiple languages. So in fact, the version you'll see is the Persian version. We've also, at this point, gotten it translated into a number of other languages, including Arabic, Urdu, Malay, Turkish, and Spanish. So we're really trying to make this poster widely available to people in their native language. And the final pictures on that poster are a bit unusual because it's actually not about slaughter, it's about composting. And the reason we've put composting in is one, as you, I've already mentioned, I have an interest in it. But in this case, what we were finding is that some of the folks from the Muslim community come from countries where they traditionally simply discarded the offal. When they took the animal, slaughtered it, and removed the innards, they would normally just discard it, and the dogs and the other wilder animals would simply get rid of it. Vultures, crows, things like that. Well, when they're slaughtering animals in urban areas in the United States, that's not desirable. And so this is a reminder to simply remove the materials in an appropriate way. The final thing we've done is working with Dr. Grandin, we've been working on developing a small scale slaughter pen that's relatively inexpensive. We're looking at something that hopefully will be about $700 to $1,000, easily shippable, working with folks in Wisconsin on that part of the project. And this special pen is got a number of properties that come out of Temple's research. And for me was the pleasure of building something that was bigger than something that I put on my laboratory bench. I normally am a laboratory scientist, and this was a chance to build something a bit bigger. And what we built is a double rail holder, which you'll see in one of the slides, where it's two rails, and Dr. Grandin has built very high speed, large scale equipment using the same principle. We have the solid sides because the animal gets distracted easily, and this is a way to avoid distraction. The floor is a non-slip floor, and so that the animals as they come on aren't sliding all over the place. And we then take that floor and we drop the floor down so the animal is suspended on the double rail. And you can see here an animal in our version one, which is actually at Cornell in the Cornell's USDA slaughterhouse. And this animal sat here for 50 minutes, perfectly comfortable. In the other shot, we have a picture of a large ram that was in fact quite rambunctious, was jumping up and down, was going up 5 feet up and down, was on a leash, which is how the folks in Wisconsin move the animals around. And I was really fearful that this would break the equipment, we'd never get it in. Well, we got it in, and as we lowered the floor away, this very active animal just totally calmed down. It was the most amazing thing to see this rather wild ram just totally calm down, and we could manipulate it and look at it, and it was perfectly calm. And you see the picture, there's no guardrail up front preventing it from jumping off, but when it's supported on the double rail, and you can see the two tubes which constitute the double rail very clearly in this picture, we have a wonderful situation where the animals are nice and calm, which is exactly what you want for religious slaughter. Finally, we have what is by far and away my favorite picture, which is our version two of the special holding pen, which is a picture of a goat as opposed to sheep in the previous pictures, and yours truly getting kissed or licked on the forehead by this animal. I should mention that in all of these pictures, on all of the days where we've been working with the animals, we were not doing slaughter. However, we have used this equipment in slaughter facilities, and in fact, we've had the government folks in to look at it, and they are very happy that this provides the kind of humane slaughter facilities that are much better than what is currently being done with these small packing plants. And we're hopeful that as we commercialize this equipment through the folks in Wisconsin, that we will improve animal welfare in religious slaughter, particularly in smaller plants on the farm, and even possibly for those who are killing one animal at home.